Do not limit God. Can a person limit God? Yes, of course. I mean, God is, of course, limitless. But by your lack of faith, by your way of thinking, you can limit the way God is acting on your behalf. God is intervening in your life. You determine how much of God's work and power and grace and anointing and prosperity you will carry in your life. You determine it by the amount of faith you can carry. How great is your faith? How big is your faith container? And the more you can believe, the more shall be done and accomplished in your life. Now, God was not surprised when he saw you suffering. God is not surprised when he sees you in sickness or in poverty. God is not surprised. He has provided already in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago. The Bible even says, before the foundation of the world, Christ was slain. The Lamb of God was slain. That means God, before even starting the creation, he provided for us. And he wants us to enjoy the provision. Today I want to challenge you. Stop limiting God. I've been preaching on this topic for about two times now. And I want to start with a brief story that is shared in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, if you have your Bible handy, look it up from verse 4 to 7. Luke chapter 5. Now this is the story where Jesus tells the disciples, Simon in particular, to go out and let down the nets for a catch. Listen, that is very important. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, let down your nets for a catch. So Peter was told to go out and let down the nets. They have been fishing all night, they caught nothing, but Christ told them, now you go and do what I tell you. Now, but what happened was very discouraging. Peter said, all right, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, singular. Christ told him, let down the nets, and he said, I'll let down the net. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Christ told them, put nets out, and he put a net. And because he only put a net, the net began to break. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. This story has several problems. I mean, God told Peter, let down the nets. He had not enough nets of faith. He did not believe for a great catch. He had been impressed by his past experience. All night I was throwing out nets. I caught nothing. And now here comes Christ, and at his command, I should throw out nets? No, let me just throw out one net. His faith was limiting the blessings of God. So he threw out one net, and he caught lots of fish, and the net broke. The blessing was too much for his small net. And I don't know how many fish escaped that net. Maybe thousands of fish escaped. But still, although they escaped, they called their friends, and they came with their boats, and they filled still with a broken net. They filled two boats, and the boats began to sink. That means there were not enough nets, not enough boats. These guys were totally unprepared for the blessings of God. And maybe you're watching right now, and this is the same case with you. Always blaming God. Why is this not happening in my life? Why can I not have this one, not receive that one? Why am I sick? And so on. But listen, God is pointing at you and he's telling you, listen, it is your lack of faith. What else do you want me to do? I allowed my only begotten son to be beaten and to die on that cross on Calvary, and I have paid for everything. Now, it is up to you by your faith to receive. Let me tell you, God's abundance, God's blessings are limitless because God is called El Shaddai. He is the God unlimited. He is more than enough. So the level you're experiencing in your life depends on your level of faith. The more faith you have, the more you can receive. If you have the measure of a small bucket, you receive whatever that small bucket can carry. Peter only had faith for one net of fish. And even with this one net, he was struggling. I mean, he said, Jesus, actually, I've been fishing the whole night. I caught nothing. And he was struggling. And for him, it was a great act of faith already to put out just one net. But Christ told him two nets. See, he was unprepared. But listen, the fish was there. The blessing was there. The God was ready to bless him. Who determined the measure? Peter did. Peter was unprepared. It's exactly the same thing today. You determine the measure of blessings in your life by your faith. We spoke about the fact that God provided for the people of Israel 2.5 million people thereabout for 40 years. He gave them food. God is more than enough. In the middle of the desert, God was more than enough. And I proved to you in the last sermon that even under the new covenant, God is even more ready to bless you and to provide for you with all that you need, and not just for things you need, but he wants to bless you so much that you'll be able to give to somebody around you. Now let's move on. God not only provided prosperity for you, he is not just El Shaddai in the area of finances and blessings and prosperity, he is also El Shaddai in the area of your health. He wants you to be healthy. There are two things. People are always impressed by a miracle, and I love miracles. We have seen many miracles. The blind eyes opened, lame are walking, mute are speaking. Those things are real, they're happening. I love miracles. I like to see them. It's awesome. But listen, if you ask me, I prefer blessing over a miracle. I prefer health over a healing miracle. Because if you are living in health, you don't need a miracle of healing. If you're living in prosperity, you don't need a miracle in the area of finances. Because you are experiencing, you are living in those blessings. Christ did everything. And he said, by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you have been healed. Healing has been released. It is easily accessible. How? Faith is the key. You can be healed right now by your faith. That's why Christ always kept telling the people who were healed, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Now, why are people not healed? Because people do not have faith. And you say, oh evangelist, your preaching is too simple. That's biblical. Ask Jesus. He time and time again rebuked his disciples, people around him, for their lack of faith. Not for the lack of education. Not for the lack of character. As a matter of fact, he healed very immoral people. He still healed them. He said, it is not because of your good morals or bad morals. It's not because you went to church or didn't go to church. It is because of your lack of faith. If you have faith, everything is possible to him who believes. Everything is possible to him who believes. If you could have faith, how great is your faith? How much can you trust God? And the measure of your trust, the measure of your faith will determine the blessings in your life. Now open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, 38. And again, we see a God who wants to heal in abundance. Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Now the Bible says Jesus healed all who were under the power of the devil. Two things are very important here. Number one, he healed all. Number two, those who were healed were actually under the power of the devil. Now that is not a secret. Christ is saying it very clearly. If you are sick, you are under the power of the devil. Now don't be condemned. Don't feel condemned. Just realize that's what the Bible says. I am not judging you. I am not condemning you. I am quoting scripture. And the Bible says, if you are sick, you are under the power of the devil, not under the power of God. Because God is El Shaddai and God is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. So if there is sickness in your life, that means in that area of your life, you've allowed the devil to come and to take control. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed to heal all. He healed all. And that's again, God says, I will release anointing upon my son Jesus. I will release such heavy blessing upon him that wherever he goes, anybody he touches, anybody he speaks to will be healed. No requirements, nothing attached to it. Just the fact that he is there, he is bringing healing power. If you could receive that by faith today. Many times when you enter Pentecostal and charismatic circles, oh, they'll tell you, you have to have faith, faith. Yes, it's true. Faith, I believe in that. But listen, you cannot work up your faith. You can increase your faith by listening to the word of God. That's a different story. But you cannot just by emotion somehow work up something. That's not faith. Faith is trusting in the gracious God. Faith is trusting and relying on the word of God and trusting and relying on the good character of God. He is a good God. If you could just believe for a moment, just believe today as you're watching me right now, just believe for a few minutes that God is good and that he desires your healing, that he paid every price, and that he demonstrated through Christ Jesus, who is a perfect reflection of God's will, he demonstrated through Christ Jesus his perfect will. And the Bible says he healed them all. A God who wants to heal all. God is not stingy. God is not holding back. God is a God of unlimited resources. And God is the God who calls himself El Shaddai. I am more than enough. If you could just believe, by faith, you would be healed. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Similar scripture, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, to Jesus. And he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all who were ill. He healed all who were ill. Hallelujah. El Shaddai, God unlimited, healed all. The good ones, the bad ones. The tall ones, the short ones. The fat ones, the skinny ones. The moral ones, the immoral ones. The churchgoer and those who are not going to church. He healed them all. Why? That's his character. That's God. He is God unlimited. Do not limit. Oh, God cannot heal me because. Oh, God cannot heal me. No, I've not been reading my Bible. Yeah, read your Bible. It's very important. But God will heal you anyway. Do not limit God. And do not limit how God has to heal you. Do not prescribe to God how he ought to heal you. He can heal you anyhow, anywhere, anytime. You must just have faith in him. So the question is not whether or not God desires to heal you. The question is how much faith do you have? How great is your faith? How much can you believe for healing? And that's the answer for so many questions. People are struggling and they're asking themselves, why am I praying? Nothing is happening. Why am I fasting? Nothing is happening. The answer is you have no faith. That's it. That's biblical. Sounds very simple, but it is still very biblical. And if you're feeling condemned, I'm not here to condemn you, but that's what the Bible says. Listen to the word of God. It is better to repent and become a man and woman of faith than to die of your sickness, believing you're still a faith. No. If you're not receiving, that means there's something broken in your faith. On God's side, everything is fine. I mean, God spent everything he had to spend, his only begotten son. He paid every bill. He released every blessing. If you're not receiving, it is on your end. The problem is on your end. Repent and believe. Now, I want to move on. We've spoken the last two times about the material aspect of God unlimited. He is unlimited in resources. He wants to bless you. He is El Shaddai. He wants to heal you. That's the material side of life. But on the spiritual side, he is also the God unlimited. He is also El Shaddai, and he wants to bless you on the spiritual side. And the greatest topic, I mean, in the New Testament is the topic of grace. God is a God of unlimited and unconditional grace. Hallelujah. That is why we are here. Why I am preaching? Because I experience his grace. There is forgiving grace. There is blessing grace. There is gifts grace. There are so many different graces, but it's all his grace. Grace is something you receive that you don't deserve. God gives you something you don't deserve. But he is so full of goodness, so full of love. He is overflowing with blessings, and he is always sharing his grace. I want to quote a few scriptures just to make sure you realize this is biblical. God is a God who has more than enough of that grace. John 3:16, I believe all Christians should know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So that whoever believes in him. Can you see God unlimited here? He says, oh, I want salvation for everybody. God says, I'm not just saving a few chosen ones here and there, chosen by race and gender. No, he says, I want the whole world to be saved. God unlimited. And his atonement was enough for the whole world, for the sins of all people, of all generations. He sacrificed his only begotten son, and his atonement was enough for all. And he says, now, if you believe, you can have eternal life. So that whoever believes, and if you are a whoever today, if you're that person, and he is telling you today, my son has paid the price, and if you believe, I will save you. You will have eternal life. And God's not just stingy. Oh, let me prolong his life. Let me add 20 years, 50 years. He says, no, if you believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. Have you ever thought about the character of God, how God really is? This is an amazing God. He has no need of blessing us, but he wants to bless us. He has no need of saving us. No, God, as you know, is self-sufficient. He is happy within himself. He doesn't need us to be happy. He is happy within himself. But God, in his abundance, decides to save, to create and then to save the people. He loves us. And his grace is unlimited. He says, I'm giving everybody a chance, whoever believes. And if he believes, I'll give him eternal life. That is abundant grace. Let's open 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5 from 18. All this is from God, Paul says, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Can you imagine? God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he was committed to us. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amazing scripture. You can see God unlimited here. He says, God reconciled the world to himself. Can you imagine? He said, I'm not just going to save a few here and there. I'm going to save the whole world. I'm going to make available to the whole world my salvation. He did it through Christ Jesus. And then as the generations went on, he says, now he gave that ministry to us Christians. We are still in the footsteps of Jesus preaching reconciliation. It is still available. God triggered something 2,000 years ago. And that kingdom is still growing. That thing is still running. He triggered something and it's still being preached. And people are still being reconciled. That's God unlimited. He was not satisfied by saving just a few people. He was not satisfied with 12 disciples. He said, I want the world to be saved. And he reconciled the whole world to himself in Christ Jesus. But why are so many people not reconciled yet? They have no faith in him. That's the key. You appropriate the gifts of God. You appropriate prosperity. You appropriate healing. And you appropriate grace by faith. For it is by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. Faith is the appropriation of the grace. So by your faith, you receive that reconciliation. God is unlimited. He provided salvation for every human being that ever lived and will live in the future. It's freely available. That's my God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, yet to all, once again, he says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Isn't that amazing? Again, God unlimited. He says, listen, I am giving salvation to all. Anybody who wants to be saved, you can be saved if you believe in his name. To those who believe in his name. That means salvation is there for everybody, but only few believe. Only a few have the capacity to receive. And listen, the gospel is the too good to be true message. The gospel is the too good to be true message. A God who forgives, that's the gospel. A God who pays the price for our sins, that's the gospel. We sin against him and he pays the price for our sins. That's a gospel that is too good to be believed. But those who believe, those who actually believe in this good God, the Bible says, they become children. I mean, God could have said, all right, you have sinned against me, you have offended me, I mean, you have disgraced me, I don't like you, but if you repent and believe in me, I'll make you one of my slaves. I will forgive you, I will shorten your time in hell. No. God said, if you believe in me, again, God unlimited, you'll become not just a citizen of the kingdom. No, you'll become a child of God. I will make you part of my intimate family. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Daniel. And you. I mean, this is super abundant, supernatural, extravagant grace. That is El Shaddai, that is God unlimited. His grace goes beyond our expectations. Our sins are not just forgiven. We are not just declared righteous and the righteousness of God, but we become part of his divine family. I am part of his family. Hallelujah. That's the grace of God. He's not just forgiving us our sins and then elevating us into the state of righteousness. No, he says, no, listen, you have sinned. I elevate you into the state of righteousness. And now I elevate you into the state of sonship. You are now my son. That is God's supernatural, abundant, extravagant grace. Hallelujah. His grace is unlimited. And Paul realized that, listen, that his grace is more than sufficient. It is sufficient. Whatever your problem is, there's grace for you. Just believe in him. Your appropriate grace by faith. John 1:16. And here John describes his experience and the experience of the other disciples who got to know Jesus personally. And he says, John 1:16, out of his fullness, out of his abundance, that sounds like God, fullness, out of his overflow, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Grace after grace after grace after grace after grace. He said, the grace of God is inexhaustible. You cannot exhaust the grace of God. It is too much. I received one grace, and next day I received another one. I could not stop receiving. How? Because John believed in Jesus. He believed that as a good God. He believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God, and that he is full of grace. And because he believed that, he now began to receive. You know, you can have a million euros on your bank account. If you don't know and don't believe, you'll never use your card to withdraw money. You have to know, you have to believe there is money on your bank account. And then you actively go there and you withdraw the money. That's exactly what John did. Listen, we realized he is full of grace. That man, he is full of grace. And then he said, we started withdrawing. We went there, we received grace, and then we came again after grace and grace again. And it wasn't stopping. We received grace after grace after grace. You can receive grace after grace after grace today if you believe. Believe that he paid the price. Believe that he is a good God, that he wants you to be blessed and healed and to receive grace. As you do, you will start receiving. The grace of God is unlimited. And part of his grace, the carrier of grace, is the Holy Spirit. You can have the Holy Spirit and you can have him unlimited. If you open your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 34, the Bible says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit or without measure. Of course, he's speaking about Jesus, but we are in Christ Jesus. And God the Father gives the Spirit without limit. So the question is not, how can I receive more Holy Spirit? And that's so wrong in the charismatic or Pentecostal movement. We want more of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I know what you mean. But technically, you are wrong. Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out. The question is not, how can you get more Holy Spirit? The question is, how can the Holy Spirit get more of you? The Holy Spirit is readily available. He is available in abundance. He wants to fill you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to empower you. He wants to give you supernatural gifts. He wants to work power, miracles through you. He is ready. And some people are begging God. And, oh God, listen, he is more ready than you are. He wants to bless you. He wants to release the streams of living water out of your belly. He is ready. But he says, I need only one favor. Believe it. Faith is the key to unlock the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Believe the Holy Spirit has been poured out. Believe he wants to fill you. Believe it and then begin to receive out of his fullness. As you move on in John chapter 3, verse 37 to 38, the Bible says that to those who believe, those people who believe, out of them, out of their belly, streams of living water will flow. Not only will they be filled, not only will they be satisfied by the Holy Spirit, but there will be a spring that will spring up in their spirit. And out of that spring, it will not just be a brook, a small little river. It will be not a small little channel. It will become a stream. Not just one stream. It will be streams of living water. Again, El Shaddai. God unlimited. The God who is not just filling us with a brim and say, oh, no, he's filled now, that's enough. No, he says, listen, no. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to fill you real good. And you will start running over, and not just a little, spilling Holy Spirit here. No, he says, it will run over in such a manner, it will become a stream. Oh, wait a minute, not just a stream, it will become streams. Can you imagine? God says, I will pour so much into you so that you will become a resource, and you will release those streams flowing out of your physical body. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he promised, if you believe, as the scripture says, out of your belly, streams of living water will flow. Now, I believe in holiness. I believe in spiritual discipline. I believe in fasting and prayer. It's all what I believe and I do. But listen, the streams are not released by your fasting. The streams are not released by your spirituality, which is good on its own. The streams are released by faith. That's what the Bible says. If you believe, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow. The moment you believe that the Holy Spirit resides inside of you, the moment you believe he flows out of you, the spring will open up and rivers of water will flow. And people will begin to experience in your presence miracles. They will begin to experience word of knowledge. They'll begin to experience prophetically. All these things will happen. Why? Because you believe, as the scripture says. Faith unlocks the limitless God. Faith unlocks the limitless God. Faith unlocks the Holy Spirit. If you have faith, if you believe, streams of living water will flow out of you. God is ready, and the question is, are you ready? At the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, when God poured out the Holy Spirit, God the Father and God the Son, they did it together, they poured out the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came. It says in Acts 2 verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now the Holy Spirit did not just fall on a few people. The Holy Spirit fell on all believers. Now, some of them were in a grumpy mood maybe. Some of them were ugly, some were beautiful and handsome. Some were maybe immoral in some ways, sinful. Others were super spiritual. Some were religious, legalistic. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell on them all. Why? By faith. They believed. Their hearts were open. They believed in Jesus. That was the key factor. And then the Holy Spirit came. And God said, I'm not just going to give the Holy Spirit to a few. I mean, very spiritual, religious leaders. No, he said, listen, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to everybody. Get it. And he released the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. And all received the Holy Spirit and were filled. And they began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. This Holy Spirit came. And he came on all. And he gave them gifts. And they began to speak in tongues. Amazing miracle. And that proves to me God, El Shaddai, God Unlimited, is still active. He wants to fill you today. And he wants to give you more than enough. Not just a little bit. He wants to fill you, and he wants you to have all the joy and all the peace and all the hope you receive from him and through him and all the faith, but then he wants you to overflow. God wants his Christian followers, his children, his body of Christ. He wants the body of Christ to be overflowing, full of joy, jubilant, happy, full of power and miracle working. God wants you to become a miracle-working person. It's all possible by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you have to receive the Holy Spirit today. Because once you receive him, you are saved. And only the children of God do have the Holy Spirit. How do you receive him? You repent from your sins, and you ask him to come and to fill you. We're going to pray right now. I want to ask you to join me in this prayer. Just repeat after me, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit as I speak. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I turn away from sin and I will follow you for the rest of my life. From today, you are my Lord, you are my God, you are my Savior. And now, Holy Spirit, please come into my life, fill me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And therefore, I know my sins are forgiven and I am the righteousness of God. I'm a child of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you just prayed this prayer, your sins have been forgiven. You are now a child of God. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. God bless.